And you're listening to KPTZ in Port Townsend. It's 12:30 time once again. For Bureaucracy Now, I'm Taylor Clark. I'm a co-host here.
Hey.
Along with John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, and my co-host here for Brunel.
Hey, Taylor.
That's what we call it internally. I don't know.
Do people buy that? Speak up if you... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And let's start the show by letting people know that if you have questions, you can email them to dj@kptz.org, and I will endeavor to ask them. And just a word of warning, don't send them in the last 5 minutes of the show. I'm unlikely to see them. And I feel bad because I get off, we get done, John walks out the door, and then I look and I go, oh, we had a question.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, to that point, I think it's helpful to reflect with gratitude on a question that came in advance. It's also hard to answer it, at the end of the, if the show's done. So a very kind community member who I know and respect very well had a question that I thought we'd spend a couple minutes with, and then we can go to our regularly scheduled program,
which
includes a special guest.
It does.
Yeah, which I'm really excited about. So there's your teaser, everybody. But let me just give you, I think, what people are looking for. And that is some kind of acknowledgement that there seems to be consternation around a treatment on the roads. Yes, the roads are in bad condition. We'll fully admit that. But the Edge Lane Road, when it's starting to show up and manifest, is becoming challenging for some, and there's a lot of questions. So I can't dispel all of that. There's a little bit of a buried webpage on this that we're going to try to elevate so people can find it easier, but it explains what the heck are we doing out there by essentially taking these usual two-lane kind of roads that are sort of falling apart and trying to stripe them as one lane? And why are we trying to do that? So I just wanted to handle that briefly again, because we've talked about it on the show before, probably a couple of times.
We have. We have, because I saw you did it on Blaine Street, I think.
Yeah. And Coon. And
Coon.
And they're starting to roll out.
Right.
And look, I get it. People don't like new things.
And now it's there. You're doing, I saw one, I was coming back from Thing. There's one going on Fur Street.
That's correct. And more. And I guess what I want to do is to make sure that this isn't suddenly a new, hey, let's just do this idea. This is something we've been talking about for about a year and a half with City Council. I think it was March 22. It's something we've talked about before, but I was trying to coin a little bit of a cute acronym, which I don't know if it works. I'm going to try to let it fly. Should I? No.
No.
It's bad.
It's bad. Okay, I'd skip the acronym.
Okay. I was trying to be clever.
But we were discussing the acronym, and the acronym basically says that we're sometimes surprised when we see things in person that we've only really heard about.
Yeah. Yeah. In theory. So like the concept of like, let's slow people down on streets. Let's make it safer. Let's save money and do something on the cheap. And let's make sure that we maybe stall the decrepit nature of our, increasingly decrepit nature of our roads. That all sounds really good in theory. It's good concept, and it feels like, yeah, of course, let's do something cheap, and that gets us a good result. When it starts to show up, you feel differently about it because it actually changes your local landscape. So I want to acknowledge that that's not easy, including for me. But sort of stay with us on this one, because when I took the Washington State traffic engineer around these edge lane roads about a year ago, he's the guru of like traffic safety for the state. And he went, wow, this is awesome. I'm glad you're doing this. And clearly you're going to get good results because that's what the data show nationally. And we are, but we need to go through the experiment. So for those who wonder what this is about, we're going to have information more clearly available on the website. We've met with community members at the first one of these that went through, but we haven't done that with everyone because it would actually be quite exhaustive to meet on every corner of every street. But we will find ways of producing more information, getting out the rationale, and talking through this change so that people can understand it. I could probably say, well, go ahead.
I was going to say, we should maybe, I know what they are and you know what they are, but should we describe what an edge lane road is? And I remember the one other thing we discussed was how are they supposed to be used?
Right. I remember that. That was a good conversation.
It was, and it's confusing. People don't understand. Am I supposed to drive down the middle? Am I supposed to drive down the side? When do I pull over when I see somebody coming? Who pulls over first?
Exactly. And I have to say, not a traffic engineer, but as a student of AASHTO and all these manuals that describe how to do traffic safety over the course of the last 100 years, things have changed. And to some degree, ambiguity is our friend, because when people encounter something that is uncommon and unusual, generally your instinct is to protect your life and to slow down and pay attention. Mm-hmm. And that's why increasingly the traffic and transportation community is thinking about actually not making infinite sight lines down a street, but actually the natural curve of a road or even trees and things kind of in the way of sight lines help slow people down. It's traffic calming.
Well, we discussed that at the Moving in the Right Direction conference, talking about how you can engineer roads in order to promote alternate modes of transportation, to slow traffic in our community, to promote livability. And this is one of the techniques.
I mean, if you wanted to go full scale, there's something called a WoNERF, which I think is maybe Dutch for naked streets. If you want to go fully to the extreme, you could actually take every marking and everything off of streets and create intentional chaos. I don't think we're there yet. I don't think that's a little too far, I guess, from my personal opinion. But the idea is to make things slower and safer, and that so that Stripe, instead of having, assuming two-lane roads, although we don't have center lines, which is also a safety feature, not having the center line. It sounds counterintuitive, but it's the data show that that's actually the case, is that you stripe one lane, and you leave the sides both to crumble less
because rapidly, they're not being driven on
exactly,
as much.
And to provide space for bikes and pedestrians. And when you encounter, and we won't do this on Water Street, of course we can't because that's a state highway, but you wouldn't do this on a very high traveled street with lots of traffic. You would do this on lower volume streets where, you encounter a car, of course, and you say, okay, I'll slow down and I'll pull over. Those stripes don't mean avoid this at all costs. It means when you encounter another vehicle driving your direction, you slow down. You pull to the right side in this country, like most others.
This is just like you would do on any residential unstriped street, because most residential streets are unstriped. And as we drive down the residential street, we are aware that our neighbors may be coming the other direction.
So I walk, run, bike, and drive down Landis quite often near where I live. Mm-hmm. It's a mess. It's full of potholes. I'll totally take that in the face because I do it every day. And I'm appreciative to the people who slow down and pull right when I'm driving there or running or biking or walking or doing whatever. That is how you need to react to these edge lane roads. That's the intent. The paint helps guide that behavior. That's the point. And it's quite cheap, the paint. So that's the quick primer. We'll have more on our website. I'll probably write about it in the newsletter. I'm appreciative to the question, but it is a train we've traveled, and we've worked through the first couple with council. And
how did the Coon Street one, I think in particular, had a lot of residential feedback that was apparently positive.
Yeah. Well, what's great is that this is our chance for us to get to neighborhoods with not tokenistic tools that make it look like we've done something, but actually tested tools that actually do something to achieve the goals that generally, we all have different goals, but we heard quite loudly from the Coon Street community for many years.
Slow it down.
Slow it down, people. And so people were putting up their own sides, drive like your kid lives here. And that's great. So to speak to that value set, we said, let's not just put a speed bump in, which makes people, slow down for one little section and then speed up again and creates more noise and exhaust. Let's actually use a treatment that gets the results we want, which is, I can't say everybody in Coon Street's happy. That's just, that's an unattainable goal. I can say that those who have approached me with appreciation, I'm glad we ticked that box for them, because I think it's delivering the results that they expressed to us they wanted. But more soon, and please feel free to email me with questions. We'll try to be more proactive about more information going out as the changes happen.
Okay.
But Taylor, we have a guest here, and she has an instrument.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on, this is the coolest. And she works for the city.
Well, and she walked in this morning with a giant case, really a large case for her instrument. And I had to remind myself that that Cynthia is the HR representative for the city, Cynthia Schaefer.
Yes.
What is your official title, Cynthia? Oh, pull that all the way towards you.
Director of People and Performance.
Oh, I didn't
say it again. Okay.
There we are.
Director of People and Performance.
Thank you.
Sort of in parentheses, HR.
Yes.
But why HR? Well, because of people and because of performance.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, and other things.
All right.
But we're really grateful to have Cynthia with us. A couple quick shout outs to her before we hear from her music or her. But just she comes by way of other agencies, including the City of Tacoma, Southside 911. She's been an HR professional for 29 years. Holy cow.
Yes.
So she's been in the business, and we are lucky to have her in this community. And, you know, when you start hearing her instrument or voice, you might recognize it because she's been here a lot. She's played in our local establishments.
Oh, good yes. to know. Maybe we should not introduce the instrument, but let it introduce itself.
So welcome, Cynthia.
Thank you.
You've been here a couple of months now.
Yeah. Well, I think, let's see, July 31st. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Not even a month. Exactly a month.
And I guess maybe we can just, before you get into the instrument we won't name yet, tell us a little bit about your journey to get here and about yourself.
Journey to get to Port Townsend?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure. I absolutely love Port Townsend and have loved Port Townsend since I've moved to Washington State. So it was a destination place for me mm-hmm. and my partner, Rob Rigoni. And so we have been spending maybe 5 years figuring out, where do we want to retire? Where do we want to spend the rest of our lives? And Port Townsend was on the list all along. So when this job opportunity came up.
Oh, wow. That must have been an exciting moment.
We said, well, rather than wait to retire, why don't we make the move now? So it was a retirement of my old position where I was and made the journey here. So excited to be part of the community, part of the city, working for John. John is an amazing leader. So I'm just so excited to be here.
I had to claw you away from the really clenched hands of your former employer. I loved it. We were talking about this. Actually, we had a book club meeting last night at the Poorhouse, and we were talking about leadership in this book we read, and we were talking about reference checks. And I had to say, it was such a joy when I call references of people like Cynthia to have them say, kind of, don't you dare, and here's how she walks on water, and oh gosh, okay, fine. But I know that the amount of concern they have equals the amount of greatness we're about to get. So I couldn't be more thrilled to have somebody like Cynthia in this role and actually add to not just the technical expertise from 29 years in the business, including with other municipalities, but also to add a certain artistic flair and personality that seems like, it's almost meant to be in Port Townsend because mm-hmm. you reflect the ethos of the place.
I have two thoughts. One is I know how important a building quality team has been to you since you started this job yeah. and how much effort you've put into it. And so the fact that you have Cynthia here is clearly evidence that you're still working on that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second thought is about when you mentioned the ethos of Port Townsend and Cynthia, your love for the community. And I know that's, as you hire people and bring them in and they're new to the area, I think there's kind of a learning curve they go up as they really absorb the local ethos. And mm-hmm. and I'm Cynthia, do you have any thoughts on how you can facilitate that?
Facilitate.
Make them more Port Townsend-y.
Oh. I'm a sponge right now. I'm truly absorbing, learning, observing, listening, and mm-hmm. to me, those are the things that I've actually done in my career. So I think applying what I do in my career to my personal life and professional life.
So you have to start doing it yourself before you can help anybody else.
That's right. Yeah.
I wanted to illustrate a couple of things that I just think are just great moves right off the bat in the first month. You know, one, getting out to teams and visiting people in the sites and not expecting them to come to City Hall. So Cynthia's made great efforts in her first few days of being in the chair to get out of the chair and get out and to meet people and establish relationships. The other thing is we did a training as all department directors in June. And this is when, Cynthia was still employed only, an hour and a half away from here, but chose on her vacation time to join us and to participate in the 3-day training. And that was our first, you know, kind of unofficial day of work, was rocking up to me and eight of our colleagues and doing an all day, quite intensive, quite, you know, rich and deep and, you know, courageous 3-day experience. And that was like, that was your introduction to the team.
It was. So, and I love the team. I truly did. That was a great experience.
Special kind of person who has that kind of access and also that kind of intent to want to get to know and learn. So, yeah. Speaking of learning, are we about, should we?
I'm eyeing the instrument because you know, you don't get to see these in person very often. There are some knobs on the top. Is this actually? Can you? Is this one you can plug it into a PA?
Yes.
Like you need to.
And I know. Well, with the rest of the band, it does need some help. So it does get drowned out quite a bit.
Do you play with the band?
I do. Yes. What? Budapest West is the name of the band. Okay. So we write our own music. It's a world beat type of sound.
I feel like we're being unfair to the listener, and you should in some way introduce the instrument.
Okay. it's a very different sound, so that's why I thought maybe an introduction is helpful with the it is.
Go,
all right.
Let's just see how it goes.
Okay. That's a little introduction.
Wow.
Okay. And this instrument is called?
A hurdy-gurdy.
Now, you're not playing it in the way I usually hear this. Those are all minor.
Yes.
Minor notes. That's not the way we normally hear this instrument, is it?
No, you normally hear it at a Renaissance fair, often like as a traveling musician. And so the way I play it is very different.
More of a world music sound.
Yes. Definitely.
Okay. It feels like multiple instruments all together.
Doesn't it?
It is so, has an impact like an orchestra.
And it was used in the court. So back in the medieval days, it was the instrument that was played in a court. So it was, this is a miniature version.
Oh, really?
They used to be so large, it required two people to play the instrument. One person would press the pegs and the other person would turn the wheel. So I'm turning a wheel. A wood wheel that has cotton on strings, which makes the sound. So, and
it's much like a violin bow, though, right? Isn't it?
It is.
Rosined, and it's mm-hmm. it's sort of like a continuous bow. It's
a
circular bow.
It's almost like a cello keyboard combo.
Combo. Mm. Yeah. It's the platypus of instruments.
I want to know. So I don't think I even know this myself. When, how, what's your story becoming a hurdy-gurdy player?
It's a fun story.
Good.
Okay. I'm a huge fan, and my partner, Rob, is also a huge fan of Lorena McKennett, a Canadian musician.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I love it when people know who she is.
Legend.
And we were watching one of her music videos, which featured Nigel Eaton, who is her hurdy-gurdy player. And I said, "What is that?" And Rob said, "That's a hurdy-gurdy." And I said, "Where do I get one?" And he said, "Well, not at Guitar Center." And I researched where I could find one, and there are individuals that build these, and a couple from O'Brien, Oregon builds hurdy-gurdies. They've been doing it for over 20 years now. So I was playing hurdy-gurdy, I guess air hurdy-gurdy, in the garage trying to figure out if I was a left-handed or a right-handed hurdy-gurdy player. I'm left-handed, so this is actually a left-handed hurdy-gurdy. And contacted George Leverett of Ultra Winds in O'Brien, Oregon, and said, "Can you make me a left-handed hurdy-gurdy?" And they did.
Wow.
So these are hand-built. It took about 6 months to build this one. This is a maple wood, and so he builds every single piece of this, and his wife, Anwen, does the coloring and the detail of the front of the instrument.
Wow,
it has a you said it's maple, but it's been dyed with an aniline green dye.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful deep color. It's quite and some of the the pegs down there have also been dyed green, right?
Yes, and then they do sound holes. They did personalized sound holes, and of course, this one has a dragon head on the top of it too.
Oh, nice!
Yes. Of course, it of has course. A dragon head.
It has
head.
To have a dragon head.
I love it. I love it.
Work-life balance.
Yeah,
this is good.
I mean, I have to say, like, this doesn't really kind of factor into hiring decisions, but you know, you very cleverly dropped, like, oh yeah, my band and I, yeah, we played at the Poorhouse. It was just kind of this, like, oh, okay, so you know Port Townsend because you've actually played a bunch of venues here.
Yes,
I don't know, that counts for something, maybe.
It does.
Yeah. That was good.
Well, it's just a love of this area and continuing to come up to, from where I was, to Port Townsend, and absolutely love the community, love this place. So it's a perfect fit in my mind.
Yeah.
Good. Well, welcome to Port Townsend and to the city and to our community.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And may we play kind of coordinated music together, not just in the city team, because HR is kind of such an important
player. Oh, you're going to have a metaphor there, John.
Yeah. I've got to keep turning the crank.
That's right. Don't get cranky.
Oh, see, you've been here. You should be leading out on this one. But more coordinating our music and also with the community. I mean, I think one of the things that was fun to talk, and we continuously talk about this, is, of course, there's like the organizational responsibilities around investing in our people, getting the best out of them, really getting a high performing team, which is really, you know, maybe shorthand for the vision that I have for actually establishing a role like Cynthia's. Because previously, you know, not too long ago, we didn't have a director level HR professional at the city. And I think to some degree at our disbenefit, because then you're not kind of renewing, refreshing, building connections and training and really saying this is really important to us and it really is important to me. And so, you know, not only is that important for our team, but there are some outside the team and organization implications here. You know, as a community, we're literally the same size as the previous organization I worked for as a population. So, you know, in a way, we're all kind of part of the same team. And how do we work better together? And as a, you know, trained facilitator and mediator, you know, Cynthia brings these skills to the table that we're all trying to learn to do better at the city so that we can work with partners, work with our community, hear each other better, and actually get to where we want to go. So, you know, not only does she play hurdy-gurdy and is an HR professional, there's a little bit of like wisdom and, you know, kind of how do we as a community grow together that I think Cynthia will bring.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you already do. It's in 1 month, literally to the day. It's very clear to me.
Thank you.
Well, it was fun running into you out at Thing. Did you get to go to Thing
I
also?
Didn't.
Oh.
No.
Oh man, I don't know where to start, and I guess we're almost out of time.
Almost,
but it was really fun to run into you also. I saw Jim. You know, I saw a lot of other people besides the KPTZ crew. But man, really well done. And so a shout out to my team, including the planning team that permits a bunch of things, the police team that I think I saw five of the team there and had some good chats with our new deputy chief. We should get Jeff Thaxton on the show. He's new to the chair and already out there really establishing connections as deputy chief. Of course, the streets crew, making sure that's safe. We've got road closures figured out. So, you know, to my knowledge, with a few little bumps, things went smoothly from an operations point of view. Huge shout out to both STG, but really the Port Townsend community and Fort Worden Hospitality. It was exceptional. I mean, my family and I were there in a private capacity. We had so much fun.
Yeah, I had fun too. That was as first time I've done Thing. Normally I'm gone this time of year.
That's right.
This year I was here, so I got to go.
Well, let us all hope that we get a chance to do it again next year.
I do too.
Yeah.